You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. From the bus leagues to the big leagues, the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast has got you covered. Here's Jeff and John.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Rangers Today Baseball Podcast. This is episode number 107, and today Ross Fenstermaker is going to join us. He's the Vice President and Assistant General Manager. He's in charge of player development and international scouting. He's going to join us here in a little bit, but first we're going to talk big league stuff. Hey, we are just a few days away. You're leaving
Tuesday night. Yes, sir.
To go to spring training. We'll be there in March. Hey, don't forget to hit that subscribe button down there and join the YouTube channel. Big thanks to Odyssey for bringing us on board. But let's go to the big league stuff because somebody's showing up at spring training now with a big grin on his face. And he's going to be happy because since Lee Stevens. They had this deal. Adolis Garcia got his contract.
Yeah, you know, he's going to show up with a smile anyway, but it'll be a little brighter here. He deserved a deal. You know,
right.
and you know it's weird, and the Rangers probably aren't ever going to talk about it, why they filed at five and why there was such a large gap, because really Adolis didn't ask for much more than what was predicted for him,
right?
At $6.9 million. But you know the deals. It's an interesting 2-year deal. He's only going to make $4.75 million only, guaranteed this season, $9.25 million in 2025. But then there's another $7.25 million in options. So ultimately, this 2-year, 14-year deal could be 2 years and a little more than 20. So good. You know, first of all, you just don't want to go to a hearing.
No.
You know, hearings are bad. We've said it before, you know, the team goes in there and has to defend why it only wants to pay the guy $5 million, and they just lay it out, you know, all of the flaws. And, you know, you don't want to do that to a guy who's, A, your cleanup hitter, B, the guy who brings the energy, the emotional leader, and then
a fan favorite.
C, he's like really, really good and did so much for you in the World Series there. The postseason before he was injured at the World Series. So,
right.
But he still hit the walk-off homer in game one. So,
yep.
Threw out a guy before he was hurt in game three that really changed the game. So,
exactly.
Great, good player. Good thing they got it done. Nobody needed that hearing. So, he was always going to be on the team. You know, that was never a doubt. That's just the way baseball's structured. To avoid the arbitration, to not have to worry about it next year, to be able to wait until his third arbitration year before you go into another potential arbitration case, which, you know, at that point, he'll be a free agent the next year.
Right.
So you might as well just give him another extension, you know, and buy out a couple free agency years and see if you can get a team-friendly, player-friendly, everybody-happy deal. That'll keep him with the team.
Yeah, so when free agency hits, he'll be what, 32?
He's 30 right now.
Right.
So he's going to turn 31 this year, so he'll be 34-ish.
Yeah.
35.
At the end of 25. I mean,
he'll be an older first-time free agent. But, you know, just...
Look, that guy's athletic. He keeps himself in shape.
You know, being Cuban and having to defect and all of that stuff.
Yeah, he'll cash in. He'll make some money.
It delayed the start of his career, but he's here now, and he's an all-star, a ALCS MVP, a Gold Glove winner, and
he blossoms late too, though.
Somebody you want on your team, so that's good. They don't want that hangover storyline, whatever.
No.
Going into spring training into this season. Yet you mentioned Lee Stevens. 2000 was the last time the Rangers went to an arbitration hearing. They beat Lee Stevens. And then 3 weeks into the season, they traded him to Montreal. So, yeah. Anyway, out of the country. And I don't know the story. Maybe that's something we could ask TR sometime. You know, was Lee Stevens pissed?
TR, you know, was there.
Was there stuff happening in spring training we didn't know about or don't know about? And maybe it was reported. I don't know. You guys tell us. If you know, let me know.
Right.
You can comment on the old YouTube channel, and we look at them. We don't, we'll give them a thumbs up, sometimes reply, but we see them. Okay. So that's news item number one. News item number two is that the bankruptcy judge did approve the TV deal today. So the
should Rangers, be announced Monday, I heard, or something.
The Rangers have a one-year deal with.
Are they Sports. Officially free agents after this year?
I believe so. I don't think that means they won't be back on Bally if Diamond somehow gets a bunch of money. But they don't want to announce how much it's worth. Though the reporting that was done, I think, by Evan Drellich of The Athletic, is it's like going to be 10 or 15% less. Might have been Alden Gonzalez from ESPN.com. I don't want to screw you over either of my buddies. I've read both of their stories a few weeks ago. So, you know, the Rangers are supposed to make probably over $100 million in the original deal. So 85% of that's still,
you know, 85 to 90 million.
Like, sure. Like, yeah. It's 95 million top end. Maybe that's still a lot of money. The concern all along has been the future of their television deal.
Now they still Bally still doesn't have the streaming rights.
Correct. That's correct. The Rangers have the streaming rights.
Oh, the Rangers do. Okay.
Yeah. Amazon is not involved with Rangers streaming rights. Okay. There is Rob Manfred, the commissioner, wants to have a package ready for 2025, a streaming package, which could include the Rangers. I don't know how that would work, if that would be their sole source of revenue. I wouldn't think so. I would think that they would still have somebody who'd want to carry them on broadcast television. I think they're called linear rights. So we'll see what happens. You know, the Rangers have now 10 months. I'm sure they've already been working on it to some degree, trying to figure out who's available to be a partner. What other avenues of revenue are available to them? You know, they want to reach every possible consumer. So,
They're playing at the top of the market now. They've got players coming up that are going to require raises that are within this organization. Yeah. So the payroll is only going to increase going forward. They've got a chance to really create revenue by being a good team.
Yeah.
So capitalize. I get it. It's just complete. And I'll say it, shitty timing that all that Bally was such
timing.
An idiot.
It's bad timing, but it's good timing. At least the Rangers aren't 60-102 trying to shop a TV deal. They're world champions. And Dallas Fort Worth is the fifth biggest market, maybe fourth biggest market in the country. Media country, I think it might be media market might be fourth. That's pretty good. Yeah. You know, that's gonna get you some interested parties.
You got New York, LA, you got Chicago, and you got Dallas Fort Worth,
Houston's right up there, Philadelphia's right up there. But our point, it's going to be in a very attractive situation, but the TV landscape has changed so much that I don't know that there's $100 million deal for their linear rights. Now, maybe if you package everything together with streaming and whatnot, then maybe it works out pretty well for them. But but because they don't have concrete numbers for the future, that might be what's holding up things with Jordan Montgomery, or perhaps is going to limit them from Jordan Montgomery. Might be why Adolis Garcia is only getting 475 this year. You know, the Rangers are already, I think, past the luxury tax threshold. So they're going to have a penalty on top of whatever their payroll ends up being. They still want to be able to add guys at the trade deadline if that's a necessity. Although they're going to be getting back DeGrom, Scherzer, Malley. It's going to be like three trade deadline acquisitions, right, and really good ones. But you know, this is a big deal. You know, this is going to be a storyline all year. And
you think Montgomery's coming?
I don't know. I think they have a chance. I do.
It's going to be 5 years though, maybe with a sixth option, but they do not want to go over five.
Yeah. I don't, this is boring. I don't know where, you know, spring training starts. It started yesterday or today for the Dodgers.
Right.
And whoever else is playing in that Korea series, spring training started today. And, you know, players are on the move. You know, the Super Bowl, after the Super Bowl, there's going to be a big exodus to Arizona and Florida. And it's weird that a player is not going to be there. He's going to have to sign, take his physical, and go wherever. He's not going to be able to bring his, you know, if a player won't be able to bring his family right away, you know.
He's got to find the lodging.
He's got to get to work.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that they haven't been training, obviously, and I'm sure throwing bullpens and
whatnot. They used to have a place where a lot of guys that were unsigned would get together and work out together or something to, or was that?
That was, I think that was coming out of
COVID.
COVID.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't know. I don't know. I felt pretty optimistic about it for a while. And now that camp's here, I mean, the thing is the Rangers still do have a need for starting pitching. You know, they have five guys. Great. Who's the sixth guy?
Right.
You really don't know. Is it Jose Arena who's on a minor league deal? Is it Owen White who, you know, might be their best minor league pitcher? Does that get sorted out? That pecking order might get sorted out.
Colwin had a great spring and
he ends up. Right? You know, I'm on the Colwin fan club. So there, it would look a lot better. I think everybody would feel a lot better. Obviously with Jordan Montgomery.
Right.
But even with, you know, just another a veteran arm who has done something and who you've heard of, and you're like, okay, he's going to be nice to have around.
Yep.
You know, and you feel good about who's coming back. You feel great about Evaldi and John Gray. If he's healthy, you feel awesome about that. Dane Dunning had a great year. And Haney pitched his tail off in the postseason.
Cody Bradford,
our buddy. The first and only three-time guest on our show, and you feel good about them. They ran out of depth last year,
right?
And you know what can happen with injuries, and
that's why some of these guys
they're just having their injuries on the front end this year.
That's why some of these guys are signing these minor league deals and coming into camp because there is opportunities with the Rangers. Look, and the guys that are here, things can happen in spring training.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can lose somebody for, I mean, this is where you're sitting right now.
The number one storyline last year was Jacob DeGrom. They didn't let him throw on the first day because he had side soreness.
Yeah.
And so that pushed him back.
It was a huge story
and every time he threw, we talked to him and they brought him to the media center and my son ambushed him and got his autograph last year. Nathan Eovaldi had a deal. John Gray had a deal. A phantom back deal. Woke up one morning with a stiff back and got scratched. So it all pushed them back. They all weren't 100% built up at the start of the season. And, you know, with this being coming off the World Series and playing the extra month, you know, do you give some guys an extra blow? You let Eovaldi start a little later, let him finish his buildup in the regular season. You know, John Gray, same thing, although he didn't pitch as a starter in the postseason, you still give him a chance to catch his breath. So Dane Dunning, again, didn't have October off, but he didn't start any games. So I think he mentioned that.
We had him on a couple weeks ago.
And Bradford definitely did. You know, Bradford did all of his throwing early on and then, right, kind of morphed into more of a reliever there the last couple months. So they say they're all feeling good. You know, they're all throwing. But
depth is so important.
It's a delicate situation right now. And if you don't add another starter, then it gets real dicey. Unless you see Owen White, Jack Leiter, Colwin, whoever, start kicking ass in spring training and showing that they could be viable bullpen pieces or viable call ups from AAA if needed.
Well, starting pitching is the one needed depth of this organization. Even with bats, you've got bats down into AAA that are people you could bring up to hit. And, you know, Wenzel, you've got, you know, different guys that are down there so starting pitching is the depth. And you know, nobody goes anymore, like we've talked about over and over. They don't go with just six starters for a season anymore. You're going to dig deep. It is so time for people like Leiter, White, when these guys got to put up or shut up, and this is the season for them to do it. And there, with those guys being out till halfway in the season, when you got Malley and you know, Scherzer and DeGrom coming back late, these guys really, really have an opportunity.
Yeah,
a serious opportunity to step up. It is there for the taking. And there's, you know, there is a chance they may throw him into the fire anyway, just to get a look at him, knowing that they've got to put up or shut up at some point anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look at Cody Bradford last year. He was the Pacific Coast League Pitcher of the Month for April. Had an ERA under one, I think, or barely above one. And when DeGrom went on the injured list, he was the guy who got the call. He made his debut, unfortunately, against the Braves. Tough debut for him. But he went out there and challenged the strike zone. He seems unflappable. He was up and down, but he pitched well. And when he was given his opportunities, he got some big outs in the postseason. And that can't do anything but build confidence. So, yeah. You're talking about a guy who Mike Maddox loves. If you weren't at the live show that we did at Hoppenstein Brewery, Brewing Company, I asked Mike Maddox specifically about him. Just really likes the guy, super prepared, always on top of things. So, There's reason to like Cody Bradford, but there'd be reason to like a couple other starters.
Yep. And the bullpen seems to be semi taking shape. I mean, they've got some guys for the bullpen that are there. You know, I don't foresee any big other signings they're going to have. They probably got some people that they're ready to go with. They've got four guys that have closed that are on that team right now. Robertson's closed. You've got
Yates.
Yates
obviously
is closed.
Leclerc, and then Spores.
Spores closed a few.
I mean, and he closed in college, but you know,
he closed one of the most important games.
He got the biggest out in Rangers history. Right. So
he closed the biggest game in Rangers history. So, but those guys, when those arms are on, those are four great arms.
They are.
They're great arms. And sure. You can see three of those guys getting hot and really having a needing a starting pitcher to only go six innings and being able to shut that down.
And you know, and Rangers were encouraged with how Jonathan Hernandez finished the season.
Sure. That's another one.
Before he was injured, Brock Burke gave up a ton of home runs, but he's from Colorado, so he's a good one.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine. He had a great year in 2022. And then, you know, you do need guys that can go multiple innings.
Right.
And so that's why I like Danny Duffy. I think, you know, Danny Duffy signed as a non-roster invitee earlier this week. Was with him all last year. I really like Danny Duffy. Such a nice guy. You know, I think we've mentioned this, like you see him in the clubhouse working and you see his mugshot and it's like a scowl and you're like, God, is this guy mean? And he couldn't be nicer.
Yeah.
So I don't know. You don't really carry a true long man in this day and age, but if the Rangers are going to be protective of their starters early, you definitely want a guy or two who can get you two or three, piggybacking somebody. So a lot of different ways this is going to look to start the year. Then when the three injured guys come back, it's going to look a lot like, I think it'll look a lot like the postseason bullpen
did
with a bunch of starters down there getting out. So
It
worked once. So
it did.
No, I couldn't work twice. Although you were saying that the Rangers aren't getting a lot of love.
They are not. I tell you what, the only Vegas has Rangers about the best odds are about the fourth team.
Okay.
On the best odds in Vegas. But if you go to FanGraphs or anyone else or any of the major outlets, I think it was FanGraphs has the Rangers at 36% of even making the postseason. They've got the Astros up near 90, somewhere. I think it was 90. I said 95, but it might have been 85 to 90%. And they've got Seattle at about 75%. So they have no love for the World Series team. I could see that. If literally half the team went into free agency or retired or whatever, the entire lineup's coming back, but Mitch Garver,
Right.
So I guess obviously that's got to be the loss of Mitch Garver. I mean, is obviously
he played for half a year.
He did,
yeah, and he did. He played real well.
And he played good in the postseason. He was a good threat at the bat.
There are obviously we just talked about it for 10 minutes the starting rotation, but I don't know how they do their formulas. These guys, you know, they have their projections. There's the Pecota, the Zips, all that stuff.
I love it.
And so you're rotating, you know, in terms of Cody Bradford. How do you judge what Cody Bradford's going to do? So
sure.
But anyway, great. You know,
yep. If you're a Ranger, I think you go into spring training now even with a bigger grin, going, all right,
yeah,
great. You know, we're the previous World Series. World champs, you think we're about third in the West? Okay, that's how we're going to play this, and just start kicking people's ass, and that's the only way you prove that wrong, or you stay right there at the top. Then you get your pitchers back, and you go. But look, it's crazy not to think this team isn't at least a wild card team. That's just how you don't think that. At least I don't get.
Well, three could come from the West. It's not impossible. The Mariners came very, very close last year. Yeah, the Mariners is an interesting one. You know, they were making news more for what they traded away and who they didn't sign than who they have acquired. I know they traded away Robbie Ray. They traded for second baseman from the Twins, Polanco.
Right.
They have added to their bullpen, which is always pretty good.
Their rotation
is good.
Yeah,
even
they
with,
a good
even
rotation.
With, you know, they didn't have Ray all of last year, basically, and still had a really good rotation, young guys. You know, the Astros haven't done a lot other than really sign Josh Hader, which is not insignificant. They upgraded a catcher offensively by not re-signing Martin Maldonado. They're keeping Altuve around, though he was going to be on the team this season anyway. It'll be interesting. I mean, you know, the Astros are a good team. They've been to 7 straight ALCSs.
Sure. And nobody dismisses
them. Just because the Rangers beat them in this year doesn't mean that the Astros are
should be fun to have hiding. Both.
It's great for baseball too.
Sure.
It's great for baseball in the
state.
I
still don't understand the Yankee love. I mean, they did get Juan Soto, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know, they are coming into this. A lot of teams think a lot of people out there kind of think they're the top American League team.
Well, the Yankees, in their offense, have been crushed by injuries the last couple of years. And, you know, when you lose Aaron Judge, you know, that's going to lose you a lot of ball games. And but they do have the reigning Cy Young winner, Gerrit Cole. They added Marcus Stroman. They did add Juan Soto, who is pretty, pretty good.
I've heard of him.
Yeah. I think the Yankees will be good. The East will beat each other up.
Tampa Bay is always
good. What's he going to do? You know, I don't know that. I don't know what magic Ron Washington's got up his sleeves, but it'll be fun to watch him just because
he gets players to play for.
Just because we love Ron Washington, and
yeah,
the A's are terrible. Although the A's acquired a couple of decent starters, Ross Stripling, who's from South Lake, and Alex Wood, who's not bad. He's I think they've both been all stars.
Aren't they playing at a softball complex there in Vegas, or they're going to play?
That's a whole other disaster. That's
we're playing at a softball complex on Thursdays, and then
golly, that's there's something new every day on that.
I know. So they are going to be in Vegas this year, right?
No, they're in Oakland.
They're in Oakland this year.
In the next 3 years, they're going to be. They could be in Las Vegas at the AAA park. They could be in Sacramento. I've seen. There was talk about them playing their games in San Francisco, but I don't know if that had any traction to it. So they're going to be nomads, I guess, putting the A in nomad. And but this Vegas thing, you know, you had the mayor say one thing, then she had to backstep it, backtrack it, and the Oakland mayor just said it's, you know, this whole Vegas thing is dumb. You know, maybe they can work out a deal, but you know, there's so much. Red tape in California and you know, an unwillingness to provide public funding and all this stuff. You know, they had to have in this proposal that was called the Howard Terminal Project, they were going to have low-income housing. They were going to have stuff that meant, you know, it was environmental friendly. So it's a headache. But the plan, you know, the move got approved 30-0, you know, all the owners voted for it.
Yeah.
And there's apparently a pot of money, $380 million in Las Vegas that is going to go toward building the stadium at the site of the Tropicana. So, on the strip, right by the airport, right by the MGM.
It'd be a great
Excalibur, I think, is across the street.
But it's going to take 3 years to build or something?
It'll take a while, yeah. But
in the meantime, like we said, they'll play at Oakland or they'll play.
But they're going to be better than they were last year. But anyway.
Yep. They'll rent out.
Yeah, the Rangers are going to be good too. So,
yeah. Maybe they'll go out to Iowa and play in that little cornfield. That little cornfield.
I'd make that trip.
That would do that. That would be a fun trip. Okay, listen, let's get Ross in here.
Yes.
Okay? So we'll get Ross in here. Ross Fenstermaker.
Big dive on the minor leagues.
Yeah, and we'll go down there and then we'll go down the bus leagues after that. Ross Fenstermaker. Okay, guys, and joining us right now is the Vice President, Assistant General Manager. He's in charge of player development and international scouting. It's Ross Fenstermaker. Ross, what's going on, bud?
Hey, guys, how are you? I'm doing great.
Good. Sorry we didn't have any fake applause for you there, but maybe we can work on it.
Yes, we can get that. Yeah. We can absolutely get fake applause.
So what have you been doing? You guys, gosh, it's been a weird offseason, Ross. That's just kind of, I think that's sentiment across baseball.
It has. I think the general landscape of baseball has been unique and interesting and different. I would say if you're a member of the Texas Rangers, it's also been unique as our first World Series championship. But, you know, as many of us could attest, I don't think that we celebrated long on the beach. We were back to work pretty quick and trying to figure out ways where we can do it again here in 2024. So it comes quick.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. Well, not funny, maybe ha-ha funny, but you guys had to go to the GM meetings like 2 days later. I mean, it's there's a lot of obviously, I guess you wouldn't trade it for anything, but you guys never really caught much of a break on the front office side.
No, it's interesting. You're riding on you're in a parade with hundreds of thousands of fans celebrating, and then you're hopping on a plane to beautiful Arizona, Scottsdale, Arizona for GM meetings 2 days later. And then unfortunately for myself and a few from the team, a few of us made it back. I did not because I got hit with the bug that got half of the group.
No.
I got to spend extra days in Arizona.
At least you're at a nice resort.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, but I didn't leave the room for about 24 hours.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
goodness.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better now, and I guess you'll be in Arizona, what?
Yeah, when do you head out?
Monday?
Tuesday night. So.
Oh, man, we might be on the same flight.
Oh, yeah?
Looking forward to this one, yeah, yeah.
Well, so. don't take all the first-class seats, okay?
Yeah, I think you definitely are higher in the pecking order. It's been busy on PD side too. I know that we have the international signing now in January. You guys run mini camps. You had leadership deal there in Arlington, but you also had a dead period. So
yeah.
Have you guys caught up? Do you feel like you know where everything is despite the dead period?
Yeah, I like to phrase the dead period to our player development staff as our live period, where we actually got to recharge our batteries a little bit going through the holidays. But once January hit and we turned the page after the second, it came quick. We still have players in winter ball during the dead period. You can kind of follow along what's going on. But mini camps all through January, multiple hitting camps, pitching camp. We got a big group out there in Arizona right now. Leadership camp, which you just touched on. In January at the end of the month, leading into Fan Fest, which was a great experience for our group and something we've done for several years now. And all of a sudden you look up and you got all these mini camps in January and you're slammed and you're staying above water and then you're heading to spring training. So here we go.
I guess we should start, since you're in charge of this or oversee this player development stuff, with Wyatt Langford. We saw him at Fan Fest, talked to him. He seemed a little more comfortable. He's going to be in big league camp. Are you guys surprised at how well he did, in his first 161 at bats, I guess it worked out to be?
I guess, I mean, not surprised. I'm surprised that we're looking up and he finished the year in AAA, because you don't typically see that from somebody that comes out of college, regardless of where they're selected to finish the year at that level. And then to be in Major League camp the year after with his college pedigree is not a surprise. But I mean, I think he's got a real opportunity and shot here to break with the club if all things go well. And, you know, he's got an opportunity in front of him. He's in competition with several others. But I mean, geez, Wyatt is a special talent, special player, uniquely driven and motivated to achieve his goals, and just a supremely talented baseball player and a great person to be around in the time that I've had interacting with him. And, you know, he fits all of our values and our principles quite well.
What I mean, we all know about the bat is the defense. How's it coming along? I mean, this guy was a catcher like 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's really unique, this story, coming catcher to outfield and then ending up being what we would classify as a 70 runner on our scale, you know, basically top end. You don't typically see that from catchers. So
yeah,
I think the defense is still a work in progress. I'd be lying to you if I said we've had a full evaluation at this point, because he moves so fast we can't keep up with him. But, you know, I know he's going to get great work with Will Venable and our instructors in spring training. Josh Bonifay and our instructors in the minor leagues have worked well with him. And, you know, I think we do a really good job working on the defensive end with our players, and I'm excited to see how quickly he progresses.
Yeah, one thing that I'd asked you, I think maybe during the postseason or late in the season, was this guy only has 161 at-bats, you know, and you know, maybe I come from the school where, you know, guys used to have 1,000 or 1,500 minor league at-bats, and you said we don't put limits on anybody. How do you know? How do you know what – in this day and age tells you that this guy's might be ready?
I think there's a lot of things that go into it, Jeff. I think it starts with how accomplished he was as a collegiate hitter and the stages at which he performed on, and knowing, you know, the quality of pitches and the competition that he faced in college. And then when you get into the pro game and you're selected that high, and we do such extensive background work on the player, we have a decent idea of what they're going to be capable of in terms of being challenged, you know, from a intangible standpoint. He checked all those boxes for us. And then you see the on-page performance and, you know, back of house, some of the R&D and the metrics that we use. I think we have pretty good indicators when it's boring for a player at the level. And, you know, I think that you could always slow it down and make sure there's plenty of seasoning, but certain players are uniquely gifted, and they push you to kind of change your mentality on that. I think we're a very open-minded organization, and we have these things in place that we feel confident in terms of directing us or indicating when a player is ready for that next challenge. And Wyatt checked those boxes pretty darn quick for us. And we figured, hey, no limits on him. Let's just keep pushing him until he shows us he's not ready. And he hasn't shown us that's not the case yet.
Well, I mean, that's it. Yeah. I mean, if you can hit, you can hit, I guess.
I've said it all along. That's a great issue to have, is when we're like, this guy's ready to go. We need a place for him. I mean, absolutely. Bang on the door and make everybody second guess you when you're that good. Yeah. Why isn't he here? Why isn't he here? That's a great player to have.
Yeah.
What's so. We all saw Evan. That was pretty spectacular showing. I think that's an understatement. But the system is more than just those two guys. I think, and you and I have talked about this, that Justin Foscue, who's now on the 40 man, he's got to be close. I think he's got a chance. You think he's going to hit? What did you see from him this offseason? He lives in Arizona, right? In Glendale.
Yeah. So I credit Justin immensely. He moved there with his wife. They're in Glendale area. He was at the complex pretty regularly, working on the things that we challenged him on. He does everything exceptionally well in terms of plate discipline, controlling the zone, bat to ball. And he walked more than he struck out in AAA last year. The thing that we challenged him most on was creating a little bit more impact with the bat and driving the baseball, which we know is in the tank. He just, you know, there's been times where it's come and gone. And I think he really got after it this offseason, and, you know, saw him out there at the hitting camp in January. He looked great. Once again, we're excited to see how well he impacts the baseball, because, you know, while there might not be a clear-cut path position player-wise, you know, where he would play on the diamond, we know the bat's going to play. We know he can hit. And if he impacts the baseball, I think it really shifts the type of profile hitter he is. And I think he'd profile well as a DH, first base, any position that may become available for him. And I give him a lot of credit for moving there and dedicating in his off seasons to work in the complex and being ready to go come spring training.
You know, when he was at the Frisco caravan stop, he said he likes DHing. So, you know, you don't always hear that from a young guy, but he seems to know that he is offense first. And I think Blaine Crim is another guy who I know Donnie Ecker likes, a guy who just seems to hit all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's cut from the similar cloth. That AAA group, like, we've got good problems to have there in terms of the hitters that, you know, are available with that group, and hopefully one or two or several of them break through. But, you know, Blaine has done nothing but hit every step of the way through the minor leagues. And, you know, he's AAA repeating the level and continues to do the things that we value as an organization. And, you know, there were times where we actively discussed calling him up last year and, you know, didn't ultimately, you know, fit or work at the time. But, you know, all these guys up there, they're on the map, they're on the radar. And, you know, when that need presents itself, we're really lucky and blessed to have such a good group. And that team, which, you know, performed incredibly well at AAA last year, was more or less an all prospect club outside of maybe Elio Hernandez and a few others that were minor league free agent signs, but they're all still relatively young and they're coming back. So I think we got another chance to repeat and maybe level up from there. And, you know, it's not the best if you're a player there to see, you know, that you might be blocked at the major league level, but these guys are big leaguers. There's no doubt in my mind, and they're going to get the call at some point. And, you know, Justin to Blaine and the rest of the group, they're winners, and they exude the qualities that we believe in, you know, good players have, and they're going to be big leaguers. And I hope it's for the Texas Rangers and for a very long time when that opportunity presents itself.
A little further down, not much further. Josh Steven came on our show, and his next outing, he got hurt. So I don't know if we jinxed him. I don't know if you want to watch out, walk around the house there, but, how's he doing? And in the 3 months you saw, what did you think of him?
He's doing really well. He's out in Arizona right now. He's been rehabbing his back this off season. It was kind of a unique thing. I don't know if it was the long drive from North Carolina to Texas, and, you know, what happened there. Maybe it was your presence or the show. I'm not pointing any blame here.
I was there for it. So it could have been me.
Yeah. But no, he's doing exceptionally well. He was at leadership camp. It was great to talk to him in that setting and, you know, substantiate, you know, where he is in this organization, his placement, you know, with that group. And I think he's oftentimes overlooked as a prospect in terms of what he's accomplished at the age he's accomplished. It was unique in the COVID year with the post-draft $20,000 sign and kind of flying under the radar, but all he's done is perform and got better every step of the way. And I'm excited to see what he does. He's not invited to major league camp, but he'll get probably a taste at some point, maybe pitching in a game or two. And, you know, I think he's, you know, he has a good year in Frisco. He's knocking on the door as another contributor to this major league club in the pitching pipeline. So I'm excited for him this year.
Good. I did see, because the leadership conference at the ballpark coincided with Adrian Beltre's Hall of Fame press conference. And I saw Abby Ortiz be introduced to Ivan Rodriguez. And Pudge was in the middle of an interview, but like, you know, they're both from Puerto Rico, of course, and Abby just like lit up. But Abby also looked good. He kind of burst onto the scene last year. He will be in big league camp. What do we need to know about him?
Yeah, great story. I mean, Hamilton Wise, our international director, was living in Puerto Rico the year that we took Abby in the draft. So, and we sent him straight to the Dominican after that. So he was able to watch him quite a bit and really liked the hitter, liked the power. You know, performed early on in his career, then ran into a little bit of a snag. We noticed we ended up getting his vision assessed, and we know something was off on his vision. Got him some correction. You can't hit what you can't see in baseball. It's already hard enough, so we don't need blurry vision on top of that. So, you know, everything else was there, but once we got that cleaned up and rectified, he really took off, and he was our minor league player of the year last year, and just did a tremendous job, and, you know, hit at multiple levels, and he's going to get an opportunity in major league camp to experience that. And I think he's, you know, one of those first base prospects, left-handed bat with huge power that we could see, you know, in the big leagues here in short order, just given the way that he impacts the baseball, controls the zone, and he's got a lot of potential in the bat. So we're excited.
Yeah. Well, I don't think he has anything left to prove at A ball. So it seems like he's going to be a rough rider, or I don't know, maybe not, but
that's a good guess, but I mean, yeah, you know how this works out.
And he will be managed by Carlos Cardoza. I thought it was a significant thing that you guys maintained all of your full season affiliate managers. Yeah. There's been some turnover, and there's always turnover, but That seems like a big deal. Continuity seems like a big deal.
Yeah, I think obviously the shift from previous leadership in the department to myself, you have a couple of years where you're kind of assessing, evaluating staff. Staff's also evaluating you. Do I fit in here? How does this work? But once we've, I think after 2 years now with Josh Bonifay, Kenny Holmberg, our leadership team, I think we've stabilized a lot of things. And I think the people that are in the positions that they're in now feel pretty comfortable with who we are, you know, from a leadership perspective, what we're emphasizing and how it ultimately works. And I think we really got a good thing going right now. And I'm excited about, you know, keeping everybody and just making sure that, you know, we have continuity moving forward.
We here.
Oh, yeah, I figured she'd make a guest appearance, you know.
That's fine. we're all for it. I've had my son make a guest appearance.
She's 2.5, but she's the star of the show, all right? She's the dancer extraordinaire. She's going to be something one day, you know.
There's no doubt who runs the house.
And exactly.
It's not me and my wife.
We are all parents, and we have all had kids make their appearance. It is not
all right. So speaking of kids, the international class, Paulino Santana sounds like somebody who has taken a step forward in his development. Just anecdotally reading things that I've read, it seems like he really took a big jump here this last few months into the upper part of the class. How do you, you know, what do we need to know about Mr. Santana?
I mean, great job by our group, Hamilton Wise in particular, to really press and push on a unique situation where he became available in the market. He called me and nonstop, you know, pressured me. You know, we got to sign this guy. I got the feel. I got a great feel for this situation. So tremendous job by the group. But just somebody that, you know, we've had a track record to see hitting games. Wonderful play discipline, great approach, bat the ball ability with a clean swing and impact potential on the bat, and a sneaky good athlete too. And pretty advanced in terms of the amount of games and game ABs we've seen. And I think he's got a chance to move pretty quick. Like he's on the more advanced end of somebody that we've signed, 16, 17 years old at an international in the last few years in terms of his ability to maybe be pushed and challenged earlier on in his career. And, you know, not quite at the, I'm not comparing him to the Wyatt Langfords of the world, but, you know, players like this, when you see that, like the indicators, he's bilingual. I think there's a really good chance that he could move quick. He's played in the States. If he performs it the way that we think he's capable of, I think we could see him, you know, stateside here pretty soon.
Well, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at your top 15 prospects or whoever's doing the rankings, your last three international key signees, starting with Anthony Gutierrez, then Sebastian Walcott, and now Paulino Santana. You guys have done pretty well down there.
Yeah, they're hitting.
Yeah. How does a Santana compare to Gutierrez? I know Gutierrez is this giant tall guy, but an outfielder, big hitter. Is it fair to compare him even?
I think it's fair to compare. I mean, they're right-handed hitting outfielders, center fielders that potentially could play in a corner. I think I would say Paulino is more advanced with the bat at the time of signing. Gutierrez is probably a more complete player athlete and definitely a center fielder. I think Paulino's got a good chance to stay in center field, but the physicality may push him to a corner where the bat's going to profile regardless. But, you know, I think Gutierrez is more of a combination of power and speed, whereas Paulino Santana is more about power on base approach with some speed, but it's not going to play quite at that level. But yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. And yeah, like you said, you know, in terms of our international group and the signings, I'm really proud to be a part of that operation. And, you know, I think part of it is the fact that we've lost 4 draft picks over the last 2 years by signing qualifying offer free agents. And, you know, we've been really challenged at how do we create value for the organization in other ways. And I think the international group has done a really good job of filling in some of those gaps and propelling us, you know, forward in terms of being a, you know, top 5 farm system and tying the player development piece to the international scouting and make sure there's continuity on all parts. And, you know, it's a team effort from Hamilton to Johnny Klum to Jack Marino, Rafiq Saab, the rest of the group. Just a really good collaborative effort by everybody involved. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to ask about 2 more pitchers. I'm going to ask about Jack Leiter. Well, a third. What's up with Kumar Rocker? What's he? Where is he at in his program?
He's in Arizona right now. He's rehabbing. Body looks tremendous. So he's feeling great. Best he's felt since he's had any, you know, nicks and injuries along the way. So he'll be doing his rehab during spring training. He'll be out and about. He's excited and motivated, and we probably won't get him back till the second half of the season, but I'm excited for when he does get back based off of what he showed us before he ultimately had his Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, he looked great before he got hurt. Yeah, he was looking good.
And then his old Vandy teammate, Jack Leiter. I know you guys were encouraged with taking the unusual step maybe of taking him out of baseball, but then how he looked afterwards. Has that carried through the offseason?
Yeah. So, I mean, Jack has worked with a few different people this offseason, including our own, and, you know, kind of consulted with different people to reinforce some of the changes that we've asked of him. He spends his offseasons at Vanderbilt doing school and also training there with a bunch of other major league players, minor league players, pro players. But I think what we saw after we shut him down was really, really encouraging. We had kind of emphasized a few cues and delivery tweaks to just get him to utilize his body and repeat a lot better, which, you know, we saw the command, the control tick up. We saw the metrics on the fastball, the breaking balls all tick up as well. And kudos to him and Jordan Teagues for really, you know, diving in. Jordan's our pitching coordinator, minor league pitching coordinator, kind of worked hand in hand with Jack when we took him out of competition. Kudos to those guys for, you know, and Jack making the necessary adjustments and continue it into the offseason. And he's going to come into camp having got a taste of AAA, and, you know, he's going to be with, you know, the big league group. And I think you guys are aware that we're a little bit thin at the major league level in terms of starting pitching options going into the season. I think the second half will look a lot better than the first half, at least as currently constructed. But like I said, on Wyatt Langford, and I'll say this with anybody else, we're not going to put any limits on anybody. If they come in, they show us they're ready to compete and you know, help a team win, I think they could be options. So we're going to create as much competition as possible in camp, and we'll see where Jack goes with that amongst others.
Well, that takes me to a 40-man member who's not Owen White. It's Cole Wynn, who pitched in Puerto Rico, seemed to do really well. How is Cole? He's from Colorado, so I know he's a good kid. but after two rough years, how did Puerto Rico help him?
You know what? I think it was great for Cole to get out of that environment. A PCL is a really difficult place to pitch. To get out of that environment, go to Puerto Rico, change of scenery, a great change of scenery, by the way. No offense to Round Rock, but, you know, the beach in Puerto Rico, pitching down there is a little bit different than the hot summers in Austin, Texas, Round Rock area. So, but to be able to go there and experience success and to remind himself, you know, that my stuff does play in these types of environments and I can compete against really good players. I think it was just a mentality shift for him. And I know he's excited to get going here in camp. You know, it's 2 years going now, but everything, every indicator that we have in terms of our metrics and the things that we value suggests that Cole Wynn has major league ability. And I think he just needs to refine that and continue to attack the strike zone and get himself over the hump. And we think Puerto Rico could be a catalyst for that. So we're excited to see what he does here this spring.
Yeah, I am too. I think he's kind of I don't know if some people have discounted him. I know he's not in the Baseball America top 30 anymore. But I think he's still got it.
He's got stuff that'll play. He's just got to harness it. Yeah. I think he does. He's still touching in the mid 90s. Yeah. I mean, this kid's got it. He just got to find it.
Yeah. John's got a couple questions.
Yeah. Just two.
We said 20 minutes and we're at 23. So,
all right, two. I want to take you back. I want to take you back to scouting, back when you were a scout. I just freaking love scouting stories. So I want to know, tell us a scouting story about a time you went out to maybe see a player, somebody you were supposed to go see, and kind of fell upon somebody else that no one was talking about. Was there ever anybody like that? And then you ended up maybe either you signed him or he ended up somewhere else and no one really knew who he was. And you kind of watched that blossom, or you saw this guy and saw something.
Yeah. I wish it was, you know, a better story per se, but it's probably still early on in the mix. And unfortunately we traded him. Although fortunately, because we acquired Mitch Garver in the deal, which, you know, obviously Garver did some pretty special things for us in the postseason. And we would do that 10 times out of 10. But I think the Ronnie Enriquez signing story was an interesting one. We were, you know, basically at a workout down in the Dominican. It was one of the last, you know, probably the fourth workout of the day. Sun's going down, 6 o'clock. This little 5'8" guy runs from right field after shagging during BP to like be the next pitcher and gets up on the mound. I'm talking to Willie Espinal, our Dominican scouting supervisor at the time, and I'm not even paying attention. I'm like, gosh, this little guy, like, really, this is how we're going to end the day? Like, I'm tired. I want to go back to the hotel. It's been a long day. I need a shower. And I'm just having a conversation. And also, he throws the first pitch, and I just hear the arm speed. I just hear the sound of the arm speed. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe I should pay attention. He throws another pitch. I can hear the arm speed again. It's really athletic. So I get behind home plate, and he's only throwing 87, 89 miles per hour. But it's just super athletic, coordinated delivery with a really unique riding fastball and great arm speed. And he's just commanding the baseball and carving up these hitters. And I'm like, we were there to see somebody else for sure. But I go, hey, I think this might be the guy that we need to sign. And kudos to, you know, credit to Willie. We were basically tapped out budget wise. Willie kind of, I think every single day, maybe 5-10 times a day, called the agent and said, hey, we've got 10K. We want this guy more than anybody. 10K, 10K, 10K. Eventually got it done, signed him, you know, was a top prospect for us for a while. And then was a key, you know, key in that Mitch Garver trade along with Iser Kiner-Falefa, you know, in order to get Mitch Garver, and the rest is history. But, you know, Ronnie's still pitching in the big leagues, and just a cool story where you think that the day is done and, you know, you're going to shut the notebook, and here he is running from right field, and the rest is history, big leaguer.
I like those $10,000 signings.
Oh, I do too. I think everyone loves those.
Emiliano Teodo, right? I mean, he's.
I do not take much credit for this, since they're, you know, I'm not down there every single day, but our group has done a tremendous job when you look at it about in terms of building value with cheap 10K signs. Teodo, Winston Santos, Ronnie Cabrera was in the Cole Reagans, the Aroldis Chapman deal. You know, we'll have another one in Leandro Lopez this year and a few others. Ronnie Enriquez, Heriberto Hernandez was the centerpiece of the Nate Lowe deal. So, I mean, all 10K signs, and they don't all work out more often than not. They don't. But when they do and they add that type of value to the organization, it is astronomical in terms of, you know, return on investment. And kudos to the group for really grinding and working hard to add those types of players.
All right, last one.
Yeah.
Okay. This is for us minor league nerds who love the minor leagues and all of that. We all know the top 30 prospects. Everybody's kind of got that list up and down. Somebody might slide in or out. Tell us whether it's one or two guys that are pitchers or position players that are not on any of these lists that could really, you see something maybe. This is a couple names for you guys to watch. Watch the stat lines. These are some guys that might just come out of nowhere.
Gosh, that's such a hard question because
I know you probably got five of each, but you're like, well,
no, I'd be cheating because like these lists now they go 30 or 40 deep. So it's like to find somebody off the list, they all have different lists. It covers like 80 players, you know, and, yeah. You know, Major League Baseball's reduced us down to 165. So like that's like half the organization is covered here. So I'm going like deep, deep sleeper.
Yeah, you're going deep.
I'll give you a couple here. And I'm not sure, I apologize to anybody out there that's going to fact check me if they're on a list or not, but okay. I'm trying to go off what I've seen. Alejandro Rosario was a fourth round pick out of Miami this year. I don't think I've seen him on any list. He had a medical issue in the draft.
I've seen him on a list, but that's okay.
Yeah. That's okay. That's a name I'm talking about. Nobody's all talking. Right. They're talking Sebastian, Wyatt, Evan. They're up there with Owen. Okay. Rosario.
Right, well, fine, Jeff. I won't spend too much time on him, but I think it could be electric stuff. We tweaked a few things in his delivery. Our medical performance department, nutrition side, helping him out with his medical condition that he had. I think he's just in a great spot to go out there and perform at a high level, and I'm excited to see what he does. I'm going way deeper. All right. Okay. David Davalio is another 10K sign from International. I passed over a few years, Venezuelan arm. I think his father was a scout. Really good stuff. Great breaking ball. Can really pitch. Advanced for the age. I think he got a little taste of down east last year, or was close to. I'm not sure if he actually went out. My apologies, but I don't think he's been on any of these lists. Maybe he has. My apologies if he has. But he's just somebody that I think has the pitches and the pitchability to kind of surprise and pop up. Similar to a lot of the names that you see at the back end of the top 30 that were in down east last year, that group did a really good job. Julio Valdez will go to Hickory this year as our pitching coach. Sam Niedorf, a few others really involved in their development. So kudos to them. And I think he's a good name. And then I'm going to give you a position player that's not on a top 30. I'm confident this guy's not on a top 30.
Okay, that's what I'm looking for. Here we go.
That I think has as much potential as anybody in our organization to be a quick riser, top 10 type guy, maybe a year or 2 years from now. And that's a shortstop that we signed this international period, Yolfran Castillo. He's Venezuelan, but trained in the Dominican. Just grew like a weed after we had come to our commitment and, you know, continues to play at a high level. He's in the complex right now. Our coaches are gushing about him. Really, really good shortstop, tremendous instincts for the game, athlete, can really run, can throw, definitely going to play shortstop, stay up the middle. Bats developing, like the hit ability, like the approach, the power is the last thing that comes when we think it's going to come. Has been with somebody that's trained a lot of really good hitters in the big leagues right now. So just somebody that I think is not on these top 30s that I would be pretty confident we're going to see on at least a list or two a year from now, if not much, much higher. So excited about
awesome. It. Awesome.
That's all God wants, man.
That's what we want. That's it. Ross, listen, get out of there. We're going to see you out in Arizona. Jeff, you'll be out there with him next week.
We might be on the same plane.
Who knows? Yeah. I'll be out there in March for about a week. We're going back out together. And then I could look for him. Of course, I always see you around the stadium sometimes. But, hey, thanks for – look, I know you guys' schedule right now. It's off season. You guys are busy.
And you got your daughter running.
And you got your daughter trying to steal the show. And you take time to sit down and talk with us. We really appreciate it. So get out there and we'll see you out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me again. Let's not make it 2 years before next time, all right?
Yes, sir. That's Ross Fenstermaker. Hey, guys, right after this, we're going to go down in the bus leagues. All right, a big thank you to Ross Fenstermaker for taking time. Let's go down in the bus leagues now.
We just went down, but we're going to go down a little more because we couldn't cover everything.
Yeah, we couldn't cover everything, but we got it in there. Baseball America came out with rankings.
Yeah.
Organization-wise,
Rangers were third.
On all of baseball.
In all of baseball, behind the
BA is one of my favorite
Orioles and the the Brewers. BA is one of my favorites too because they pay me every once in a while, and they do great work. They're a bunch of good guys. It's a top heavy organization. I think it's fair to say on the Rangers, they have the number 4 and 5 or 5 and 6 prospects. I think it's 4 and 5. I think MLB Pipeline had 5 and 6. On Carter and Langford, and they're going to graduate now. They're going to lose their rookie status at some point this year. So that's going to really
– Evan will for sure, without a doubt.
That's going to drop the Rangers like a
lead balloon. We just assume Langford's going to lose his.
You could see Foscue lose his. He was the number 4, number 5 prospect in their top 10. So, But like Ross said, he mentioned those international players, Paulino Santana,
right.
Walcott, who is not going to lose his rookie status in the majors this year. No. He'll climb the rankings. Anthony Gutierrez, very, very good player. So
Paulino.
Yeah, Paulino.
The new international.
Was 11th on their top 30. So there's still talent down there, but it's going to shift. They're guys who are going to graduate. And you guys are going to develop and come up. I mean, Brock Porter has a chance to have a good year, and
sure.
And I think he was a top 100 prospect in MLB Pipeline. So there is talent. It's just not going to be upper level, ready to be a everyday major leaguer, all-star type of guy.
Well, and let's look at let's say halfway through the year, Rocker comes back and does anything close to what he was doing before he got hurt and ends the last 2 months of the year with a sub 2.5 ERA or something like that, striking guys out. He's going to head into 25, really climbing up that ladder.
Yeah.
You've got a lot of guys that injury wise that could be coming back too to take big steps. And and a lot of these young kids also who can step up.
There are so many players in the system. There's going to be a draft where the Rangers are going to select 30th.
Yep. There's another one
instead of fourth. But there are multiple ways to acquire talent.
Well, they're not losing any picks this year either, so they're going to have
three
picks in the top 100.
Their full arsenal of pickage, and they're going to get some real good players.
Yeah, they're going to get three in the top 100 of all baseball prospects, probably. Sure. And there's always a chance, and they've never been apart from it, is somebody sliding to them and then grabbing them and saying, hey, Brock Porter was that.
That was when they had a bunch of money, or they're more money than they're going to have this year, because you know, the bonus pool is weighted toward the crappy teams at the top so they can meet their slots and sign the good guys. But, you know, you really have to give credit to the amateur scouting department, which was maligned for many years. But, you know, if you're going to look at the opening day lineup, you're going to see the 2019 first rounder, eighth overall, playing third base, and the second rounder in 2020 playing left field. He's the number four overall prospect right now. Leody Taveras is international scouting, was an international signee. Yep. So, you know, those are guys right there who are homegrown. Cody Bradford, sixth round pick in 2019.
Part of the rotation, or at least out there in the bullpen.
Yeah.
Jose Jonathan Hernandez, depending on what he does.
Jose Leclerc, also homegrown guys. Right. You know, and then you kind of give a nod to probably amateur scouts to some degree, but then the pro scouting side. And I mean, Jonah Heim was acquired with less than 30 major league at bats, and look at him now. So the Rangers have done a really good job scouting wise across the organization. They've done well with some of their free agent signings, obviously, even the ones that you don't think about, you know, the ones that don't steal the headlines, the guys like signing Martin Perez 2 years ago for $4 million. Yeah. How did that work out? Pretty darn good. Yeah. So, that's not really on the farm. I guess we've drifted into the majors.
Well, but go back. I mean, but look, the list are out. There's lots to be excited about with the organization.
Yeah.
There's lots to be excited about in the fact that they're thought of well throughout baseball, in the fact that if you do need to make any sort of a move at the trade deadline, although we've talked over and over about big leaguers that are coming back, there's talent there to go get anybody you want if you really want to.
Oh, yeah.
The great thing that the Rangers sit at, if everyone stays healthy, is that they don't have to shop at the top of the market at the trade deadline. They might just need a bat, maybe, or they might need something else. You think going there just because they have the talent within the organization to fill in a lot of those holes.
Yeah, and
a lot of that talent's in the minor leagues.
Yeah, you know, and if you look at who they traded last year, Colwyn for Chapman. Colwyn became a rock star, the April American League pitcher, or August American League pitcher of the month. Good for him. I think Thomas Ajayi and TK Roby are both top 100 prospects now in baseball.
So Ajayi may break their camp.
They were in the Montgomery Indian deal with the reliever Chris. I want to say Chris Stapleton, Chris Stratton,
right?
Not Chris Stapleton. There's more there.
Yeah,
you know, and you look at all the middle infielders they have and the middle infield set. You don't want to trade all your depth, but there are players who would be attractive up the middle who probably don't have a future with the Rangers. They're just a bunch of guys. They're a bunch of really good players, and the Rangers will be able to trade them.
That's your job. Keep developing that. And I've said that over and over. It's currency. That's a different kind of currency, but having players in your system that are attractive to other teams is like having a lot of money in your wallet. Is exactly what it is. You can go shopping when you need to if everyone loves your organization. And I've said it all along too. What the way you value your organization, other teams may not value as much. It depends on what they want. But I mean, I can't wait. And when guys, if you're going to go out, we didn't say at the beginning of the show, but if you're going to go out to spring training, so much fun. Get you a list of guys you want to see. Go out to those backfields.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, it's like going to your kid's little league game. You're going to be sitting at a fence watching Sebastian Walcott taking batting practice 25 feet away from you in the batter's box, you know, in a minor league game, or hitting in a game, not taking batting practice, but you can watch that too. All these guys that are future big leaguers are just going to be walking around back there, and you can go watch them play.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the, I mean, spring training is just a delight to begin with. It's my favorite time of the year. We used to go from Colorado. I've said it before, another Colorado story, but they didn't have Major League Baseball at the time. And so we went down fourth grade on, and just great. And there are only eight teams at the time. Now there's 15.
Yep.
You know, you do get close if you're not going to be able to hug a guy, but no. you know, one of them might stop and take a picture with you. Get an autograph, but you will be able to see them closer than at any time during the regular season.
And it's good for them too. A lot of these guys, you know, back in the old days of being a minor league guru, not a guru, but me that was following minor leagues, you guys got to understand when I was growing up, the Rangers were so bad, you were always wondering what was coming up the pipeline. I mean, that's just kind of the way you lived. Yeah. You had heard about this catcher at Double A who was throwing everybody out. He was a little short guy. He was throwing everyone out. And sure enough, when he gets to the big leagues, but you didn't really see film on these guys.
Yeah.
There wasn't all that stuff. You were only reading about them in Baseball Weekly or whatever you were doing. Now, a lot of these guys, you can go and watch these videos of them, see these guys, and then when you get out to spring training, they're right there. I mean, they are just right there walking around, watch these kids do it. You get to see the big league guys too. Don't get me wrong. You can walk around there and see them working out on the front two fields, which are the same way. But man, I like getting back there with those minor leaguers who will stop. They're getting a little recognition. They love that. They'll talk to you probably for a little bit, say hello. They're going to get their work done, but they love knowing that they're getting a little attention back there.
That's right.
And they really do. They think it's cool. And then they get to the big leagues and you know, you got to try to get a hold of them, get them to work with you more.
Yeah.
Anything else?
That's it.
That's a long one.
Yeah.
Looks like we got over a little an hour here. Hey, a big thanks to Ross Fenstermaker for coming on with us. The Rangers once again, getting back with us. Jeff's leaving this week, heading out to spring training. We'll be doing a show from spring training next week, or at least Jeff will. You'll have somebody on, probably sitting with you right there while we're doing it.
Yeah, we'll see.
See what we can get on. But if not, we'll get them on their phone, do whatever we got to do. Guys, like we said, rangerstoday.com. It's been scrolling down there at the bottom. $5.99 a month, $60 for the year. You can get $35 for 6 months, which will take you through probably over half the season, somewhere right in there.
That'll get you pretty much into August, yeah. But
might as well just pay $60 and get the whole thing.
That's right.
Just pay $60 and get the whole thing. Hit the YouTube channel. Thanks to Audacity for having us on. Till next time, folks, we will see you at the yard.